Welcome to the Totally Transformed podcast. This is Lance Borden and Dr. Connie Borden, and we were just here talking about kind of a revelation that I felt I had in my prayer time this morning, or a conviction about keeping my mind and my heart fixed on the Lord.
Yeah.
And as I prayed, I heard myself praying, Lord, I want to be all about your kingdom. I want you to be the most important thing. But I felt kind of convicted. Is that really true? Am I just saying that and not doing it? So I repented and said, Lord, I repent of the areas where I'm not making it all about you. And as I pressed into that, I just felt like it was revealed to me or brought to me how important that is and how significant it is and what an effort it is that God wants us to have to really work to keep our mind and our hearts fixed on him. You know, that's in Colossians 3. Keep your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And, you know, it was just impressed upon me that that is really what keeps us straight, or keeps me straight, if you will.
Right.
It's so easy to get over into the flesh or over into sin or over into things that are maybe not sin, but are distracting us from what really matters, which is God and his will. And I, you know, furthermore, got thinking about the Lord's Prayer and how invasive that prayer really is. You know, Jesus starts out, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And really, that's the part that's where God is the farthest away, almost, yeah. that entry into his presence, right? Appropriately.
Right.
But then the whole rest of the prayer is God invading our lives in a good way, right?
Right.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And it just, you know, I think sometimes we're tempted to say, oh, God's too far away, too important to be involved with my little mundane details. Or if we are involving God a lot in our lives, maybe it can be said of us, oh, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Neither of those are good postures, in my opinion, because the first one says that, you know, we shouldn't be worried about involving God in every aspect of our lives. And I believe he wants to, as was modeled in the Lord's Prayer. And the other one says, oh, if you're focused on God, that you can abdicate your responsibilities here on earth, and that's not the right place to be either. And what I felt like I realized is that the balance is, Lord, I want to bring you into every single detail of my day. I want to make sure to do that, and you desire that. You want to be involved in my life. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, when you were starting to speak, I thought of another verse that we didn't talk about before we started, which is Isaiah 26:3, thou will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. I mean, that's pretty direct and clear. If you don't stay your mind on the Lord, you're not going to be in perfect peace. And so I really receive your challenge that you began with, that it is our responsibility to focus on the Lord and to bring him in every aspect of our life. And then when we do, such as the verse, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Not only will you have the peace of the Lord, but you will have, as that verse indicates, everything taken care of.
Yeah.
And so there's really no room for worry or fear, all the things that plague us as Christians. And I think when we're so focused on the Lord, the next challenge, I think your statement, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good, as you were talking before we started, is because we can lose connection with our fellow man when we kind of get into a spiritual, I guess you would say, pride, or we're more mature than other people, or
we've arrived somehow.
We've arrived, or we see the truth. And that's probably true. I mean, the more you're in the Lord, the more years you're in the Lord, you develop a maturity and hopefully a righteousness and a sold outness that everyone is not going to be there, because we're all in the process of sanctification. And so that fine line of leading with love, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself, or speaking the truth in love. I mean, having discernment instead of judgment when you see that somebody is in sin or maybe isn't aware that they're affecting people and events and circumstances in a negative way, though they're Christians, and their immaturity is the fine line, is definitely the balance. I think it's pretty hard. I mean, I think, you know, one time we studied the difference between discernment and judgment. We've talked about this before. This judgment just rushes to the person and blows them away because you're irritated, angry. Potentially you have a issue in your own life that that person's sin is highlighting, and the Lord's trying to show that to you. Versus discernment, which says, I see something going on that if you aren't aware of it, that it potentially weakens or denies your effectiveness for the kingdom. What I was taught is in discernment, to get to the discernment, first of all, we have to spend a lot of time with the Lord and in the Word, right? So He can give us His truth. And then secondly, if you do see something, you should definitely pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit prepare the person for something you may deliver, because He may deliver it to them first.
And that way it's much more effective.
Exactly. Or if He does lead you to say something, by the time you've spent time in the presence of the Lord and asking Him how to deliver this in love, or if you should deliver it, you're going to do it probably in a kind, loving way. I mean, even if someone's an out-and-out sin, I think it's Titus that says, restore the brother in a spirit of gentleness, but for the grace of God, there go I. And so always keeping in mind, as you said before we started, you know, we're really just all one step or two or three steps away from giving in to temptation or giving in to chronic sin without repentance into it becoming a stronghold or something that's, you know, not good.
Really, and it's so easy to slip over into those patterns that can lead us back to sin maybe that we've struggled with in the past. And I think this posture before the Lord of, God, I'm really working today to, not working as in works, but I'm saying my focus is really going to be on You, is such a powerful way to go through our day. Yeah. You know, you mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5:17 when we were talking before we started recording, which we all know, we may not know the reference, but we're all pretty familiar with it because it says, pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
Several other translations are pray continually, never stop praying, pray unceasingly, pray constantly. So pray at all times is another one. You know, and sometimes I think we look at that verse and we say, well, how could you possibly pray all the time, right? You actually were saying that. But, you know, the more that we think about it, the more that I think about it, the more we talk about it, I really think it's possible. I mean, it wouldn't be in the Word of God. It wouldn't be, I don't think anything that God's Word tells us to do is impossible, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't be in there. And so it may not be something that's easy to do at first, but if we work at it, I think we can constantly be in a state of prayer, maybe not out loud, of course, because we have to have conversations with others, but maybe in the back of our mind we're praying. Maybe we're praying in the Spirit while we're in conversation or doing a task, driving down the road, whatever. A little bit like we've talked in the past about meditating on the Word and how significant that can be if we're working on Scripture in our mind to keep our mind renewed or be renewing our mind. But what do you think that looks like? What does it look like to you to pray without ceasing or pray constantly?
Well, I think it denotes, first of all, a humility that says, Lord, I have skills, I have education, I have anointing, I have gifts. But nonetheless, every day is a new day. Every person's a new person. Every challenge is a new challenge. Every problem's a new problem. And I believe in our humility that if the attitude is, I don't really want to take on anything without You. I don't want to take on anything without Your wisdom, without Your leading. I mean, we don't have to get legalistic about it, that we're not self-sufficient through Christ's sufficiency is what Philippians says. But, you know, and never and be in a fearful state. Oh my gosh, I can't step out. I can't do anything without, you know, the Lord's leading. At the same time, it's really important to be able to navigate success, you know, or rejection, is what I've said before. If two things that'll put you under the bus, if people reject you and you can't handle it and you go inside and you're hurt, or if you're really pretty whole and you're affecting the kingdom significantly, you have to be careful, because we can't take the praise. We can't take the credit, really, ever. We can take the credit for submission and surrender, because that was a choice, or all the things that you're saying, deciding to bring in the kingdom to our life, making that, because we do have a will and we can exert it any way we want to. But I think it's really important to always come from a place of, no matter where we are spiritually or financially or in positions or all that we do, that it's all from God. It's all His blessing. And so in that particular scripture you were talking about, I grappled with that question at one time in my life, and I felt like what the Lord told me was exactly what you're saying, that we can stay, therefore, from a submitted heart in an attitude of prayer. I mean, often I'm praying in my mind or in the spirit when I'm sitting with someone that I'm ministering to or a client in my practice, to just anoint me, just change my thoughts. And I think that's borne fruit, because sometimes I'll go into prayer or even revelation as to what's wrong with this person, and I know it's not me. I know that in my natural mind, even with a doctorate in clinical psychology, I could not figure it out as quickly or go to the source of relating to that person. And that comes then from the response of that person. Wow, that's truth. Wow, I agree with that. Wow, I see that. The Holy Spirit and the Godhead makes the revelation. And then the second thing I felt like I got, which I think is a good concept too, we should never think of ourselves as just an island. No man is an island. We are individually always part of the body of Christ, really worldwide. And so if you think about it, with all the different time zones, we are praying without ceasing as part of the corporate body of Christ, and particularly as an individual in that part of the corporate body, you're also in an attitude of prayer. I mean, I think if everybody could catch that concept, how much more effectual would be, because the word says the fervent, effectual prayers of righteous men and women availeth much.
And that's big.
Yeah.
Because if we don't believe our prayers are effective, then we're not going to do it, right?
Right.
So I think we have to start from that place of believing and knowing that our prayers are effective.
Yeah, they are.
They are effective. But then there's the other verse that says that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him.
Right. You said something when you began in your quiet time this morning. I think an intercessor always starts with, and this is what our prayer always starts with when we're dealing with healing, ministering healing to somebody that's wounded. We start with confession. We start with humility. We start with, Lord, what is in my heart that is not pleasing to You? Because the heart is deceitfully wicked. You know, we all see through a glass darkly. So I think, again, that posture of humility, clear my heart, and I confess what I know doesn't agree with You, if I know anything, and I confess even what I don't know, sins of omission, and forgive Me for that. And though we're justified and cleansed through the justification of Jesus Christ and through His purity for everything we've ever committed, we have to come into an agreement of Him, because the Word says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayers. And so I think we've stumbled onto a key in the steps to healing, to have every person that needs healing, and we're talking about sometimes going back to the past and confessing some things you've maybe held in your heart, resentment, anger, fear, if you were abused or rejected. I think that's key to people being set free, and then to forgive their offender and forgive yourself. I mean, it's the perfect balance of understanding grace, that yes, we have to purge, examine our hearts, as the Word says. I mean, it's that says that when we take communion. Examine your hearts, because if you don't, many sleep among us, which means they deal death to themselves by taking communion unworthily. I mean, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think when another thing about bringing and ushering in the Lord is that humility that says, I can always miss it, and I probably am. Lord, you know, if I'm saying something that isn't ringing true with my witness, show me that. I'm sorry, forgive me, and definitely forgive me for the things that, I missed today, is absolutely key to healing and to having him saturate your life.
Yeah, no, I agree. The verse is Hebrews 11:6, which says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." That's and powerful. So that posture of, Lord, I believe that when I go to you and spend time with you in prayer, that there's going to be an impact as a result, not because of me, not because I'm great, but just because I'm following through with what you said to do and calling upon your power in this situation. And then, you know, I think, you know, when we think about, okay, well, what does it look like to pray continually? First of all, I would say to pray through all the things that matter to you currently right now in your day-to-day situation. If you get through all that stuff, then I think a great thing to do is to say, Lord, what do you want me to pray for right now? Who do you want me to pray for right now? You know, there's so many times that I say, hey, I'll pray for you, or somebody shares something with me, you know, and asks me to pray for them, and I'll say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And I think it's a good practice to pray right away.
Absolutely.
Right? Either yep. with them immediately or right after yeah. you talk to them, so that you make sure and deliver on that promise. But then, you know, the Lord can bring those people and issues and needs back to you when you ask him, you know, and remind us of the things that we can be praying for once we're kind of through our list, if you will, of the things that concern us.
But I want to focus one more time on what we're emphasizing here. We were saying, Lord, when we go enter into the Holy of Holies is what we're doing. Just like in the Old Testament, only the priests could do that, and they had to shed blood of an animal on the altar to go into the inner sanctum of the temple. And the word says we enter there with our conscience sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus. So even though we know that, I think there's needs to be an understanding of, Lord, if I am entering and I'm not clean myself, change me so through me you can change others. And I think then what you're saying is that's really the posture that allows the Lord to change you first.
Right.
And then when you ask for other people's needs, I think you're absolutely touching the throne of grace and not taking the fact that you've been cleansed through the righteousness and blood of Jesus Christ too for granted. And yet you're also realizing that you could never repent enough. You'll never be perfect. You know, you have to accept the fact that sanctification is a lifetime process and not let the enemy put you in the other extreme of condemnation. Oh, woe is me. I'm never going to be worthy enough to ask the Lord for anything at any time. And he doesn't really care which extreme you're in, where you just take it for granted. And, you know, we just ask the Lord to give us everything, and we're all focused on seeking his hand rather than his face. Or we don't feel like we're worthy enough. Those are two absolute strategies of the enemy that keep us ineffective in our prayers. And then I'm thinking, you went to Hebrews, I'm thinking of Hebrews 3:15. It says today, and so I'm going to exhort our listeners to this podcast, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like they did in the wilderness. He's talking about the children of Israel. I mean, what a blatant example of being delivered, healed, changed, prayer answered that they had prayed for, what, thousands of years, at least a long, long time. They're delivered, and then the minute they get alone, they go right back to their patterns of sin and then got hard hearts and did not stay in a posture of humility or repentance. And so then Moses came down and could not believe what was going on. So that is a type and shadow of an example of what definitely can happen, no matter how much God has blessed you, used you, delivered you, healed you. You know, the enemy is always going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
And our flesh is always present, right?
It is.
And that's
yeah.
why this task is hard, or maybe hard is a bad word, but why it takes focus, because we have to come out of our flesh and allow our spirit to be separated from our soul to really focus in on God. And it's a choice. It's a choice of our will to do that. But the benefits are so great. I mean, to be able to dwell in his presence, really take ourselves out of, you know, we're so easily focused in on others and who offended me last, or, you know, circumstances that are negative in one way or another, that we can become miserable. But if we're focusing in on the Lord and then involving him in our day-to-day and saying, Lord, I need your help in this situation. God, what do you want me to focus on? Lord, where do you want me to be today? And what do you want me to do? Lead me in this conversation. It's such a wonderful place of peace that passes all understanding.
And that's not to say that the enemy is not continually scheming and strategizing to set up events, circumstances, and people to trigger you, to persecute you, to discourage you, maybe even to abuse you. I mean, that's the full core of our ministry. But I was listening, I was telling you earlier, to David Jeremiah last night on TV for a little while, and he said, God's man, he said this quote, God's man in the center of God's will is immortal until God is finished with him. And I think we could put anything in there. God's man in the center of God's will is at peace until God is finished with him. He is healed until God is finished with him. He is secure, safe. And it just really struck me that that's the key to consider yourself, to consider, first of all, am I in the center of God's will? I mean, that is the first part of the Lord's Prayer that you led with. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So that's really a good question. You know, are your desires after promoting the kingdom and the will of God first? Because there's a great security and safety that really comes into that. Like, you know, if he's first, then all these things again will be added unto you. And if he isn't, then you worry about it, I guess, right? Yeah,
well, and I had this thought this morning, I don't want it to be a shock when either Jesus returns and I'm in his presence, or I die and I'm in his presence.
Yeah.
You know, I want it to be that I'm living in his presence so much in my day-to-day human existence that him returning or me dying is just the next step, and it's an easy translation into his presence, where I'm just going from a physical to a purely spiritual existence. But I'm so used to being in his presence anyway that it's not a shock to my system when that happens,
which is what Paul was talking about. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I think he captured what you're saying. Okay, great. I'll live. And I want to live, and my focus in living is promoting the kingdom of God. But if I die, guess what? I'm delivered from all the persecution, trial, and discipline, potentially, that denotes the Christian life. If you're doing anything effective, you're going to be affected by the world and by the enemy. And so, you know, we should be groaning, so to speak, for freedom after heaven, which is what only heaven can deliver. But, you know, I just hear what you're saying, that, you know, there's many exhortations, many parables, like the 10 foolish virgins. And the exhortation in that story is to keep your lampstand full, lampstand with oil, denoting the oil or anointing or presence of the Holy Spirit, so that the coming of the Lord, or the rapture of the Lord, which it states in that parable, is a suddenly. It won't shock you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Jimmy Evans spoke at our church a number of months ago, and he said, quoted the scripture, which I'd never really considered, pray to be worthy to be raptured when the Lord comes. Pray to be worthy. And I think another way to say that is just what we're saying. Pray to be praying in an attitude of prayer and connection with the Lord, so that when the rapture takes place, you're not doing something. I mean, you know, another good question is, what would you do if Jesus was there or here, or that band that we used to wear? What would Jesus do? I mean, actually, there should be no differential between how you're acting now or if the rapture took place. And then I'm going to come right behind that and say, because the enemy is so condemning, that you can't be on a trip of guilt and shame or condemnation. I mean, the Lord understands we are human. I've said many times, maturity is not that you never react. It's how long it takes you to go from a reaction to a response. So I think we can have this attitude of complete justification and safety and security when our heart is moving towards sanctification and we're quick to repent and we want to repent and we want to examine our hearts and know by the Holy Spirit if something is out of whack, right?
Right. Well, let's pray together today, if you'll agree with us, to allow the Lord to come in and help us fix our minds on Him and really make that choice together today that throughout the rest of this day and as we go through our week or weekend, that God would keep us fixed on Him and that we would effectively do that. Lord, thank you so much for your exhortation that we should keep our mind fixed on you. And Lord, we just want to involve you in every aspect of our lives,
yes,
so that your will is being done, yes, and your kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven.
Hallelujah.
We want heaven to come to earth and to be involved in every aspect of our lives because we know when we're there that our heart is at peace because we know that you are working all things together for good. And we're confident that we're staying pure before you when we're repenting,
yes,
and when we're quick to repentance, thank and we're
you,
keeping
Lord,
a heart that's clean through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And
thank
so,
Jesus,
Lord, help us there. Lord, give us the willpower to stay in that place of focus on you. Help us not to be easily distracted. Help us to have a desire. Give us a heart that desires,
yes,
to be after you and your business.
Thank you, Jesus.
And give us a heart that sees things the way that you see them. In Jesus' name we pray.
And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to remind us of our authority through you that you delegated to us, that we can bind spirits of distraction. We can bind spirits of resentment. We can bind the spirits of depression, worry, fear. But all that starts with a clear heart. All that starts with understanding that if those things are in our heart, we can confess them. And your word says you're faithful and just to take that confession and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can take on the kingdom of darkness boldly. And we can, as James 1 says, submit ourselves to you, which is all we've been talking about today. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So then it's no problem. If you don't give him any inroads with what we're saying, Lord, if we don't give Satan any inroads with a clear heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life, and then we understand our delegated authority, he has a hard time tempting us or taking us down, even though we know that's his goal, to kill, steal, and destroy. So Lord, thank you for truth that sets us free and continue to teach us and continue to give us a desire to be taught and to be humble, that we will never know anything, really. I mean, everything is a revelation, particularly with scriptures that you already know. It's a lifetime process of having the mind of Christ and learning how you want us to live and breathe and have our being through you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this time, and we give you all the glory for anything that comes out of it that is fruit for the kingdom, because that's our goal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was good. I enjoyed that today. Well, we hope you'll go through the rest of your day with your mind fixed on God, your heart fixed on Jesus. You've been listening to the Totally Transformed Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.